This is a season for a new anointing. This is a season for a fresh outpouring. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. In the beginning God created, and for his pleasure all creation sings. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory now arise and shine. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory now arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let your glory fill the earth. Let your glory fill the earth. Let your glory fill the earth. Let your glory fill the earth as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. King of Glory, fill the earth. 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 As we declare, this is the day. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Please be seated.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Fathers, we come together today. We praise your great and holy name. Lord God, our Maker, our Creator, God and Father of all, we praise you and we worship you. Father, as we come to you with our minds and our thoughts on your Son, Jesus Christ, we have lots of concerns and worries on our hearts. Father, we ask that you would help us to increase our faith in you. Father, help us to rely on you, to trust you that you will do good for all of us who love the Lord. Father, we have concerns about families and friends, concerns about safety and health. Father, we ask that you would watch out for them, that you would care for them, that you would keep them healthy. Father, we have concerns for our own personal health, and we ask that you would help us to trust you and rely on you. Help us to do the things that we can be reasonably sure will extend our days. And Father, we ask that you would help us in all that we do to reflect your promise of Christ to us, your promise of eternal life. Father, as a congregation, we ask that you would be with us. We ask that you would help us to be one in spirit, one in hope, just as you prayed, your Son Jesus Christ prayed for us. Father, help us as we look from minister to worship with us, to serve this congregation, to work in this community. Father, give us wisdom. Give us strength to persevere. Father, help us to choose a person that will cause this congregation to come together, cause it to reach out to the community with your message, cause us to grow. Father, we have friends and loved ones who are in harm's way. We have sons and daughters who are overseas or serving with the military. Father, guard them, protect them. Father, we ask that you would be with the rulers of this country. Father, please help them to rule in a way that would increase peace, that would stop the hate and the distrust and the bitterness, for that is not what we want in life. Father, help our leaders to turn to you for guidance. Help them to practice love and mercy and justice. Father, be with each one of us as we go in our daily walk. Strengthen us, guide us, help us to love you each day in every way. And let this be our worship to you in our daily living. For this is our prayer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, in whom we have our faith and our hope and our glory. And amen.
Thank you, Chuck. All right, let's stand for these next two songs. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky. When it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul at all. Be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. The Savior alone carried the cross. For all of my debts, He paid the cost. Salvation complete, now forever I'm free. Calvary covers it all. The Savior alone carried the cross. For all of my debts, He paid the cost. Salvation complete, now forever I'm free. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. No power on earth, not even the grave, can separate us from mercy and grace. He is faithful to serve. Oh, His blood never fails. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. Amen. Please be seated. So we're going to sing I Need Thee Every Hour, because we need Him every hour. And then we're going to, at the very end of the song, we're going to gracefully switch transition over to Lord, I Need You. We're going to finish the final three slides of that song. They're different keys. We're just going to roll with it. It'll be good.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Perfect. That leads me to my first point. If anybody doesn't have one and needs one, just let us know and we can get one to you. Trick or treat. One of the traditions we follow through the holidays, Halloween, we get dressed up as funny creatures and superheroes and all kinds of fun costumes that we partake in together. And we go finding delicacies from neighbors, from strangers, to enjoy. If you think about the tradition, it sounds absurd, but we become so commonplace, so enjoyable. And that, you know, the act itself isn't really why we get together for Halloween, but really to spend time with family, to spend time with friends. Then we have Thanksgiving, where we eat. And I'm ready for that. Just thinking about talking about this today, I was thinking about the turkey and the gravy. And again, you know, we make this food and we prepare. We get the big table set up. We invite everybody over. And, you know, what is the purpose, right? To give thanks, to fellowship, to gather together and be with the loved ones, be with our friends, be with our family. And then we have, you know, the big red man flying on reindeer, coming through the sky for Christmas and delivering gifts. And we look at this tradition, you know, and the real tradition is celebrating Jesus' birth. But as we look at these traditions, really, right, we try to focus on the purpose of these traditions and why we get together. In Matthew 18, verse 20, it says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." So this morning, as we gather in the tradition of meeting every Sunday, I want us to focus on the purpose. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, it reads, "For I received the Lord from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Please bow with me. Lord, as we partake in the bread that represents your body, we pray that we fix our eyes on you, that we remember you, that we take this tradition of meeting, of fellowshipping every Sunday, that as we gather together, two or more, that we know you're with us and we remember that you're with us, that we fix our eyes on you. We remember that your body was pierced, that you gave up, you sacrificed your life so that we may live. So we pray that as we take this bread, that we focus on you. Amen. Then in verse 25, it reads, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.'" Please bow with me. Dear Lord, we proclaim the death that has given us life. We take something so terrible and we remember it. We are thankful for it, not because of the act, but because of the purpose. Not because of the tradition of meeting on Sunday, but because we remember the sacrifice that you have given, the gift you have given to us, the gift of eternal life. We pray that as we partake in the cup that represents your blood, we remember that sacrifice. We remember that you shed blood, your blood, on the cross so that we might live. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. And now we'll pray for the offering, which is, I always say, by no means mandatory, but what we do is we offer out of the peace that we're given, out of the blessings we are given. It is not mandatory, but as we are blessed and as we are fortunate to be saved, we give what we can. If you can please bow with me. Dear Lord, today as we remember the sacrifice you've given us, we pray that we give not because the good deeds have save us, but because your grace has saved us. We pray that we give not just in the physical, right, where we give our money or what we earn, but Lord, that we serve, that we walk away today and are remembering you in each step we take through our lives, through our work, with our families, as we remember these traditions that we go through, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, as we celebrate as families, as friends, as loved ones. We pray that we fix our eyes on you. We pray that we remember the sacrifice you've given for us and the eternal life that we have. And we do good not, and we serve and we focus on you not because it is the good things we do that save us, Lord, but it's because your grace has saved us. And that, because of that joy, because of that amazing gift, we pray that we open ourselves to give back to you. We thank you for more than we could ever ask for. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Now it's time for all the kids, age 2 to 2nd grade in one class and all the way up to 6th grade. You'll be going with Brenda, having a blast back there. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Bible tells me so. What's funny about that song is Winnie always wants me to sing it to her before she goes to bed. And she's like, "Sing me a song, Daddy." I'm like, "Okay. What song?" "Jesus loves me, of course." To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin.
And open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offenders who truly obey that moment may enter the heavenly way. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Carson, you know that's a traditional standing up song, and this is awkward. Me being the only one standing up, everybody's not settling back in this seat. Stand up and sit back down again. Yeah. Well, it's good to see you guys this morning. Good to be here. It's just good to be out. And Alex kind of alluded to this. It's, you know, just God knew what he's doing when he wanted us to be together. And we talked about this in Bible class this morning too, as a matter of fact. There's benefit in our being together. We've been in our Bible class. We've been following along our daily Bible reading, kind of using that as our text material for Bible class. I've had several opportunities to make the pitch that I'm going to make again right now before we get started, or as we get started, about the value of Bible study and being in Bible study together. And we're going to just do some of that this morning for our lesson this morning. We're going to look at the book of Jonah. And a lot of us know the story of Jonah from our days in Bible class as little kids, and the story of the big fish or the whale, whatever it was, that swallowed Jonah and then spit him back out again. And but there's some real adult lessons in that as well. So we're going to talk about that and look at that for a few minutes this morning. I'm going to take just a moment and talk about the minister search as well. We're at a point where we're ready to start reviewing resumes. We've had some in. We've got, you know, maybe half a dozen. We're expecting some more because we've placed the ad in some publications that haven't published yet. I want to try to get together the list that we have, the ones that we do have, and get those in the hands of the committee. And we're going to start reviewing those and start seeing who we might want to come in for interview and or to speak for us to get to know them a little bit better. So at any rate, that's moving along. It's a little bit longer than we thought it would be, mostly because of the publication deadlines and what have you from some of the places we're going to run the ads. At any rate, we're moving forward with that. And I might also mention that I got to visit with Stephen last weekend, Stephen and Eric and the kids, and they're doing well, and they're doing very well down there. And I'm glad for them that they've settled into their new place down there and doing well. I think we miss them here. I know I miss them here, and I suspect we all do. We miss having them here, but thankful that things are working out well here and looking forward to our next chapter here also. Pete's giving me this little clicky thing here this morning, so I feel pretty powerful. I'm going to see how this works. Good. Okay, great. How about that? Okay. I don't know if I've ever used one of these before, so, you know, you just feel like you're in control with this thing here. Yeah. Here's what we're going to do, first of all. We're going to read the story of Jonah. And to read the story of Jonah, we're just going to turn to the book of Jonah, and we're going to read the whole book of Jonah. And before you think, oh, I need to get up and leave, the book of Jonah is not that long, but we're going to read through it. And it is four chapters, but it's like 17 verses, then 10 and 10 and 11. So it's not a whole lot of reading. So bear with me. We're going to read the story of Jonah, and then we're going to see what we can all learn, even as adults, from the story of Jonah. Let me get rid of that. Okay, the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice that he's going to Tarshish when God told him to go to Nineveh. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" Jonah's probably getting pretty nervous about now. So he said, "Then I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done it as you have pleased." So they picked up Jonah, and they threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, 'I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The water surrounded me even to my soul, the deep closed around me, weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from a pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you. With a voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah learned a little bit from this lesson, arose and went to Nineveh this time, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey to its extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And this is where the story of Jonah gets interesting, I think. And I think the part that sometimes gets left out. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened that when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" And the book just kind of ends abruptly there. Interesting story, interesting reading. No wonder the kids love it. You know, it is one of the great classic kids stories, but there are some things we learn from the book of Jonah. And back to my point about it's so good to be in God's Word and to study God's Word and to read it. And there's always something new. And this story of Jonah, I've covered this lesson several times, and there's always something new that comes up. Good reading. So what can we learn as adults from the story of Jonah? First of all, don't run from responsibility. God had something very specific that he wanted Jonah to do, and Jonah thought, "I'm not going to do that. That's not what I want to do." But what is our responsibility? What is our responsibility in life? And what's life all about for us? Well, our life should be about serving God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says that we're all going to give account of ourselves to God. So what do we do? What's our life all about? And we talked about this in Bible class this morning. When Jesus was asked, "What are the greatest commandments? You know, what is it that our life should be about? What should we be doing in our lives?" Remember what Jesus said? He said, "Loving God, and then love your God completely and totally with all your being, and then love your neighbor. Love for God, love for each other. This is what our responsibility." And he said, from that, he said, everything else that we're about in our now Christian walk hangs on those two commandments, loving God and loving each other. So we have that responsibility, and that's what we need to do. That's our responsibility in our lives, is love for God and love for each other. So how does that manifest in our lives? Teaching each other, being with each other, caring for each other, providing for each other. I especially like Matthew, the 25th chapter, the story of the sheep and the goats. And if you're not familiar with that, I'm going to read through that real quick. Matthew chapter 25, beginning of verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his holy angels come with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will see the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared from the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. How do we serve our God today? How do we do what he wants us to do today? In many ways, it's by our service to each other and reaching out and caring for each other. And that's our responsibility. And that's what we are responsible for today, is looking out for each other. Next lesson from the story of Jonah. God will calm the storms of life if we let him. He did in Jonah's case. And I'm reminded of another out on the deep blue sea story, where Jesus was with his disciples. And you remember in that story, we have a song about this, by the way. I have a couple of songs. There's a kid's song about the boat was gently rocking. And I don't know if you remember that little song, but anyway. But then there's the other song that we sing about when Jesus was out on the sea and the tempest was raging. Master, the tempest is raging. And Jesus spoke and calmed the sea. Good visual image of what he can do for us in our lives as well. It's not real common that we're going to be out on the deep blue sea in a boat and need God to calm the storms of our life. But whatever's going on in our lives, God can take care of that for us as well, just like he did for Jonah. God will forgive us if we are penitent, we turn from our sins. He forgave Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah went to Tarshish instead. And Jonah later regretted that. He realized that he had been disobedient to God, and he was delivered. God was forgiven, and he was forgiven. The bigger thing in this story, the story of the Ninevites, I don't know what all was going on in Nineveh. Apparently, it was at least a violent place. Because remember, the king said, whatever violence is in your hand, we want you to stop it right now. So I don't know what kind of place Nineveh had gotten to be, but it was a very violent, very bad place. And yet when Jonah spoke out against it, and they realized the error of their way, God was willing to forgive them as well. Psalm chapter 86, verse 5 says, you are a kind and forgiving God, O Lord. 1 John chapter 1, probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. You know, if we say that we don't sin, we're only fooling ourselves. But yet the the turnaround on that, and the beautiful part of that is that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, where John says, if we forgive our sins, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So God will forgive us. There is forgiveness in God's love for us. This was a good thought. What a powerful message that was, and it seemed like a very simple message that Jonah preached to the people of Nineveh. And I don't know, you know, all we know is, you know, Jonah going through Nineveh saying, yet 40 days and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. I don't know the detail of the message, or if there wasn't even any more detail than that. God had a specific message that he wanted Jonah to preach to the people of Nineveh. They got the message, and that message changed those people, changed them to the point where they were sorry for what they had done and penitent in their hearts and turned from that. And God's word can do that for us. God's word can do that for us even today. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel is the power to save. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, was a little more specific even than that when he talked about God's power to save us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The Corinthian church was filled with sinners, just like our church is here. It's filled with sinners, imperfect sinners that needed forgiveness and needed change. And the word of God changed the Corinthian church. He said, you know, some of y'all people were pretty bad people, but the word of God changed them, just like it can and has for us as well. And I know it has in my life, and I know you'd say the same thing as well. The word of God is powerful and can change even the very worst of sinners. And then finally, a takeaway from the book of Jonah. We need to rejoice when there's reason to rejoice. And this is maybe the part of the lesson that we sometimes leave out. You know, I've always been curious about this tag onto the lesson of Jonah. And what was this about? Jonah seemed offended by the fact that these people were repented and God forgave them and spared them. That's not the way that God wants us to be. We need to rejoice when there's reason to rejoice. Luke, the 15th chapter, three great stories. There are three great parables in the 15th chapter of Luke. I don't remember the story of the lost sheep. Remember how that, and there's a song about this too, by the way, the 99 but there's one sheep that got away, and the shepherd went looking for that sheep, and when he found that one little lamb, that one sheep, there was rejoicing because that one sheep was found. The lost coin. Remember the lady that had a precious coin and lost it in her house and turned the house upside down till she finally found that coin, and she rejoiced because of that and asked her neighbors to rejoice because of that. I've always thought of Luke chapter 15 as three parables about things being lost, but I think actually a part of the story, a common thread through those three parables is the rejoicing. And the third parable in Luke chapter 15, remember, is the parable of the prodigal son, or to make it fit the rest of the chapter, the parable of the lost son, the son that got away and yet was restored. And remember that in that case as well, there was great rejoicing when he was restored to the father's household. So we need also to be ready to rejoice when when there's reason for us to rejoice. And in verse 10 of that chapter, it says that there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. And there are at least 120,000 sinners in Nineveh that had repented and turned from their way. And God's point was, you need to be happy about that. We need to rejoice about that. So, anyway, my take on the book of Jonah, five takeaways from that. We do have much to be thankful for and much to rejoice for. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, or you need to be restored, you need to find your way back to God, then there's an opportunity for that, and we'll certainly rejoice with you. We always like to close our services with a song during which, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, that we want to give you that opportunity. If you're here and you need the forgiveness and the cleansing that comes from contacting the blood of Christ through the waters of baptism, we certainly want to assist you with that. Or if you've wandered away and just need to find your way back again and just need the prayers of the church, we'll help you with that as well. If we can help you with anything this morning as we close our lesson, we ask you to come and let us know, and as we stand together and sing.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Please be remain standing.
Just a couple quick announcements before we have a closing prayer. First of all, I want to thank Richard for his message this morning and the lessons from Jonah. Also, I want to thank Chuck. I was out of town last week, but heard a lot of positive things about the lesson you brought last week, so I appreciate that so much, Chuck. We will be, I was told by Doug that we need to schedule a congregational meeting to get some things done with the finances, and there's no problems with our finances, but just to be organized and handle things. So we're going to be reaching out to the congregation here in the next week or so. Check your emails and your bulletins and mailers and everything. for a date on that. We'll also have at that meeting an update from our search committee. I know resumes have been coming in for the minister position. I want to ask people to continue to pray for that effort. But we'll have an update at that meeting on that process as well. We'll talk about some service opportunities for the congregations as the holidays approach, both Thanksgiving and Christmas. We want to make sure that we're doing some service projects for some local families and outreach efforts. So we'll be scheduling that here the next few weeks, but we want to encourage everyone to attend if possible. Also next week, Mike Lucas, I don't know if any of you guys know him. Mike was a preacher at Bridgeport Church of Christ for a number of years, and then was the minister at the Church of Christ at Virginia Beach, and he retired, and he will be our speaker next week. He's fantastic, and we'll be looking forward to hearing him speak next Sunday. So let's close in prayer. Dear Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for this congregation, for this family. We're thankful for all of the folks that are here this morning and for those that aren't unable to be here. And we just want to encourage each other. We want to encourage each other to reach out to those that we maybe missed this morning and check on them, make sure they're doing well. And Father, we just want to pray for our search process for a minister. We want to pray that you will help us find the appropriate folks to come here and serve, help us serve the community and bring others to Christ. And Father, we just pray that we can be bold in our faith. Help us to wear our Christianity and our daily walk. Help folks to see that we're different. Help us to be different. Help us to have people be able to see Jesus in our lives. When they see us serving others and living as Christ would have us live. And we pray these things in his name.